greatly attractive or attracted to one president that we had, Ronald Reagan. As a matter of fact, I go way back with this, back into this late 60s and early 70s, when Ronald Reagan wanted to use some of the information that he was aware of with regards to mind control in a prison setting, and he wanted to get laws passed where he could actually employ some of this information so that he could use it in a rehabilitative form. Well, what he was talking about was literally torturing and programming prisoners so that they could be released, early release. They wouldn't be a drain on the state. Well, when you first look at something like this, you go, wow, you know, that's a whole lot better than putting it, I mean, a guy could be out on the street and be productive instead of being put in a cage and costing us $45,000 a year on the taxpayer. But then you realize, wait a minute, who makes a decision to say who gets their mind wiped away and another one put in its place? And then all of a sudden, there is nobody on this earth that I know of that I would like to put in place in the position of God, and that is playing God. So I don't have the answers, and I didn't have then, and the company that I work for certainly didn't have the answers, but we wanted no part of this research. Well, as a result of that, the company suffered some serious, huge financial losses. I believe that was directly attributable to that, because Ronald Reagan was governor of California at the time, and this company was based in Redwood City. The name of the company was Amfex Corporation. I was getting an education that there were a great number of people that were interested in mind control research and willing to even get laws put in place to protect this research so that it could be applied to the private sector. And Ronald Reagan seemed to be the front runner on this. But it wouldn't be until 20 years later that I would run into someone that Ronald Reagan knew, and someone who had been exposed to a lifetime of mind control atrocities. Kathy O'Brien represents a very small, I hope, group of survivors and victims of this type of research. We know about the numbers. And no, they're not in just a few hundred. There are hundreds of thousands of victims, but there's also 250 million people in this country. So when you put your numbers or your percentages to it, the percentages of Kathy O'Brien's are very small. But that number is rising each day. And it's rising because we have so much in terms of information that is leaked from these government experiments into the households of what we call multi-generationalists. When people are born into this stuff, it's all they know. When I say born into this stuff, I'm talking about born into incest, sexual abuse from the time they're born. And I'm not trying to offend anybody or embarrass anybody, but I've got to say certain things that is part of the classical conditioning. Kathy O'Brien, when she was 2 weeks old, it's guesstimated. She certainly hasn't remembered to tell me this. But as far back as she can remember, but historically in Project Monarch, it begins at about 10 days to 2 weeks. The father began substituting his penis for the mother's nipple. The infant has no idea. The infant is doing a normal response. Stuff that's genetically encoded, instinctual, core programmed, whatever you want to call it. It's the information we're born with. And Kathy felt that was her mother. Kathy did not know any better than to accept what her father was doing to her. It was extraordinarily painful in some instances. She, in her mind, would reverse that pain into the pleasure syndrome or the pleasure zone. I don't know whether you're familiar with the studies that have been done on this over the years. This mind control stuff that I'm talking about tonight, unfortunately, is all trauma-based. It's really grisly stuff. And as I may have mentioned to you previously, it's over 12,000 years old. These are wizard's tricks. It's all you're seeing is just ancient wizards' tricks. When secret knowledge is maintained by secret societies, it becomes very, very dangerous because they usually apply religious stuff to it, supernatural. They don't want you to ever be able to see behind the veil or behind the curtain. They want you to think it's something way beyond your control. Tonight, I've had the opportunity to meet with someone who was talking to me about an issue that I'm very curious about but know very little about. I've got a lot of documentation, I've got a lot of information, and I've done a lot of interviewing with physicians, patients in clinical settings, reading and testing them, through video. The vast majority of them are called contactees. They're people who believe that they have been contacted by some alien force. Well, I don't think there's a person in this room that doesn't. I don't believe that there's a person in this room that could be convinced that there's no other life out there. I mean, how could you possibly think that we're the only organisms in this in existence? It's impossible. I can't imagine. As a scientist, I'm absolutely forced to believe that there may be even somebody else out there who looks just like me. But the fact is, I don't know any aliens. I haven't met any aliens that I know of. They certainly have introduced themselves that way to me, and I certainly have no experience with them. And I certainly have had a lot of experience dealing with the alien phenomenon with these patients. Now, there's a tremendous amount of abuse going on out there, and the aliens are getting blamed for it. And I'm not saying aliens aren't to blame in some cases, but the vast majority of the cases that I've seen, I will say 99.9% of them, I'm absolutely convinced, because of the supporting evidences and because of the recovered memories, that these people were victims of people. But there is that 1 or 2% that there's not a question in my mind about if they were aliens. I just want to know who and where they came from, because there is something going on. There's too many credible people reporting the same thing. But I want to tell each and every one of you tonight that Kathy O'Brien has never had a real experience dealing with aliens. When someone tells you they're an alien, when someone produces an illusion, and in retrospect you can watch them how they did it, I wouldn't think an alien would want to tell you it was an alien. I don't think an alien would produce illusions to create the idea that you were an alien. I think that an alien would just do what aliens do. And in the one or two cases that I've seen that I think are genuine, they never told the people they were aliens. They didn't have to. Not based on the memory those people recovered. But there seems to be a reason why our government, and I'm speaking of at military installations, has used this disguise of aliens to cover mind control atrocities. Why is it? You know, I don't think, let me rephrase it. I got one particular one that I always found amusing, although it was dreadful. This young woman was reporting that she had been abducted by aliens to her doctor. Her doctor got in contact with me because he thought that's what I did, was interview abductees, when in fact I worked with dissociative disorder. That's when you can't remember because of a trauma, because of whatever. So he contacted me. I'm in the International Society for the Study of Dissociation. It's a fairly sophisticated group of physicians, primarily. I think I'm the only non-physician that's in it. It's a worldwide organization. And this particular doctor contacted me, and he said, could you look at these notes? Could you review these notes and give me your findings? I'd be happy to, but first of all, would you please have this person tested with this test, this test, this test, this test. I faxed him up to him, and he tested the person, faxed him back. And it was clearly the person was dissociated. It was clear that the person had been abused most of their life. It was clear that the individual had suffered at the hands of something horribly. And what emerged was almost comical, had it not been so tragic, in terms of hurting this poor woman. But what emerged were six men from an Air Force academy in a Volkswagen bus with satanic black, matte black robes with red liners, two of them, the rest of them were black on black and one of them had a silver liner. And these young men had abducted this girl, taken her out into the woods and sexually abused her. In the process of sexually abusing her, they told her that she was a forced space girl while she was in that Volkswagen van. Well, the point I'm trying to make is that this woman had been telling people for years that she had been an abductee. But the information she was giving was not consistent with any reality. There was too many problems with the story. And when she finally did seek expert help, she got help. As far as I know, she's recovered and doing well and functioning, even though she now has remembered a lifetime of abuse. It seems as though one of these boys knew how to identify this girl from her physical presentation. I can take any of you all to one of your local shopping centers, and we can sit on one of the benches. I've done this so many times with doctors. I've been warned since then by a friend of mine who's an FBI officer that I was going to go to prison if I got caught, so I stopped the practice. Now I'm just talking about it. Go to a shopping center and sit down. And in some areas, I got to wait 5 or 10 or 15. Sometimes, I think the longest I waited was about 45 minutes until somebody walked by. The micro muscles around their eyes, the way they walk, the way they hold their mouth, the way they lock in some of the other muscles on their face, the way they carry themselves, toes in, toes out, heel toe, toe heel, will tell me exactly who can be controlled. It'll also tell me something else, if they're being controlled. Now, I don't know how large this city is. I would venture to say that you've got at least one or two shopping center areas around here. I don't know about your military bases, what's near here, or what's going on. From just observing the few people that Kathy and I have seen from Eva's car window, and in the restaurants, this place looks very normal. The people look very normal. And it looks like a real nice place to live. But Kathy and I have been in places where there were pockets of this stuff. You wouldn't have to wait 5 minutes in a local shopping center to find one. But the point is, that I'm making, is that you can physically diagnose these people psychologically and psychiatrically from the way they walk, the way they carry themselves, and the way they talk. At one point, I was trying to get help from Kathy. I walked into an FBI office, and when the guy told me there's no such thing as mind control, I said, well, wait just a minute. I'm going to tell you right now there is, and I said, I'm going to violate my oath and tell you what I saw, and I've got documentation, the Freedom of Information Act. He said, I don't want to hear it. He said, we're told there's no such thing. I said, okay. I'm going to walk downstairs, get in my car, and drive 4 blocks down the street to park it. And I know where I can round me up about 25 derelicts that are in the streets who at one time were mental patients, most likely. I said, I'm going to send them a pity. He said, you're threatening me now. I can lock you up. I said, wait a minute. I didn't say, well, I'm going to send them up here for. And I said, besides that, I'm only going to use some mind control techniques on them. He said, that is a threat. I said, not if it doesn't exist. I said, how in the world could I threaten you with a knife? I said, what if I told you I had a magic sword in my hand? And I didn't want to read. And Kathy was going, well, Mark lost his mind now. I was so mad that I could have committed an act of violence because I didn't think that everything in my government was being contained. But this same FBI officer, some months later, delivered a check to Kathy O'Brien from a Christian church, the very same group that she had been abused by, for $500. Now, it wasn't quite as vanilla as he said. He actually wanted to get us out of town because he knew what we were going to do, and he knew how we were going to do it, and he didn't want to do it on his soil because he had real criminals to chase, and he didn't want to have to dedicate one or two men just to follow us around. So we won't leave anyway, so we thanked him and took the money and left. This is in the book. But the point was, this man knew that mind control existed. Mind control research in this country, I think, peaked somewhere about the time that I got into it. I think about the time, around 1967, they had pretty much hammered down everything that they needed to know about external control of the mind. And then it was going into the exotic areas of implants. I worked for a company that manufactured implants, not just for that purpose, but for other telemetric monitoring purposes. We were monitoring all of the body system's reactions to the harsh conditions of space and space travel. We were working as a NASA consultant and as a NASA subcontractor. And because of my clearance, I was able to get into some of the areas that were more sensitive that really our company, I was in a position of making some decisions whether or not our company would produce certain devices, whether it would be worth our R&D time, et cetera, et cetera. The point was, I could see the handwriting on the wall that there was no need to be making implants. And all this stuff could be done through compressed microwave and other targeted energies. Much easier. Implants were dangerous. They were not effective. You couldn't predict you could predict their predictability. They fail more often than not. Dr. Delgado did his infamous, what I would term a carnival act in Spain. He implanted a small implant in the frontal lobe of a bull. He stood in the bull ring and with a little black box with an antenna. Maybe you've all seen the pictures of this. Maybe you've seen the old film footage. Maybe you've read about it. But nevertheless, this was one of the first and last experiments that was ever allowed out. This was done in the 60s. Well, this bull rushed Dr. Delgado, and just about the time that it got the distance between you all and myself, this fella pushed the button, and the bull stops. Well, all he did was disorient the bull. The bull could no longer think to see his target any more than Kathy O'Brien could think to leave her environment. Mind control, if it's trauma-based, is absolute. If it's an implant, it's from time to time. If it's drugs, it's from time to time. The only mind control that I know of that works all the time is when you have maintained control of an individual prior to age 5. That conditioning must involve extreme pain, extreme trauma, whether it be real or not. Satanism has been employed as a trauma base. And I really thought, I'm a deeply religious person. That's not quite right. I'm a deeply spiritual person. But to me, I have my own religion. But I'm a very deeply dedicated spiritual person that does not share many of the mainstream beliefs. Nor do I have one that I will share with even Kathy O'Brien. That's the only part of me that we don't talk about, because it's personal. And I was really afraid that the Christians were going to kill me when I told them that Satanism as a trauma was being used as a trauma base, and how it was being used. I know all of you know what shock is. That's not what the electrical type. I'm talking about the shock when you have been involved in an accident, a serious automobile accident, or what you think is serious, or any kind of accident. You've seen shock victims, pupils dilated. When you see a mind control victim, a trauma-based mind control victim, that's one of the first things you look for. Did I look for those pupils? I want to see if those pupils dilate inappropriately when I'm talking to these people. I've got a question for you all. How many in this audience are aware that we hear on two different levels? Okay. How many of you are aware of the power of the subconscious? Wow, okay. Subconscious hearing on two different levels, both synonymous. Back in the mid-1800s, Dr. Mesmer, hence the word seemed mesmerized. More or less clinically discovered that man thinks on two different levels, and really independently on two different levels. That some of the things we see and hear don't register on a conscious level. Also conscious. He also learned that if you focus someone's attention intensely, that they will lose conscious awareness of what is going on around them. Although they retain the memories, they're inappropriately filed somewhere in the wrong place. Called hypnosis. You know about this happening. But Dr. Mesmer made some really important contributions to the research that went on from there involving mind brain, the fact that we have two brains. Dr. Mesmer, his research is so antiquated that I don't know of anyone in this room that would even consider it important. But it was a beginning, and the research that Himmler was doing in the 20s and the 30s, and drawing not only from that old research and a whole lot of other European research and mind-brain research studies, actually produced a clinical example of mind control. Absolute, total mind control. All of those studies involved trauma to some level. With trauma comes physical scars. I'm amazed at the wannabe slave. I'm amazed at the number of persons that commit themselves to institutions. Actually, I can't imagine going through an ordeal to try to get attention drawn to a problem of a different nature by faking the symptoms of something as horrible as trauma-based mind control. But you would believe me, there are a number of people that do seem to fake these symptomologies. There's a number of people who think there's some sort of glamour attached to being a slave. Kathy O'Brien, the first time she ran into this, really upset her. It upset me because I didn't grasp the concept of why someone would want to fake these symptoms, why anybody would want to say that they'd endure something like this. I didn't even want to hear about it when she was talking to me about it. Child abuse was something that was really alien to me. I didn't understand it. And sexual child abuse, I thought, only went on between little children who were experimental or were being psychologically abused or in the Appalachian areas or some other deprived area of economic deprivation. But I didn't want to believe that it was happening with executives and top military officials and others across this country. And I began to put some things together in my head about my tenure at Capital International Airways, affectionately known as CIA. The fact that they were cited, and it was shut up really quick, but nevertheless were cited by the Justice Department for illegally importing Nazi and fascist scientists into this country. These scientists had been brought into this country for well over 40 years. Matter of fact, the owner of the airline started his airline in Virginia and cleverly named it CIA the day that the CIA was born from a different name. My experience with Capital and finding out that we were involved with the importation of these people and where they were going and what they were doing. These were primarily psychiatrists and propulsion experts, rocket scientists. And these two groups of people were put into our universities, they were put into various large corporations around the country, and there is a nice book on the market by an author, it was a Washington correspondent, Linda Hunt, called Secret Agenda. The reason I refer to that book is because contained within those pages is a reference to yours truly. And Linda Hunt was kind enough to try to find me and tell me she's going to put me and my job description and everything else in her book, and to protect myself. Because as I stand before you, and I've said this on camera many times, I was working with the CIA and I did not know it. I had people telling me all the time that I worked with the CIA, and I thought it was a joke. The fact remains that the information was contained for me. I was not receiving any benefits from my government. I worked for Capital International Airways, and I was director of advertising and director of marketing. I sold package tours. I developed the materials to sell package tours all over the world, junkets. I worked with all sorts of people, but I never knowingly knew any Nazi scientists or fascist scientists. But I did find out that we were importing them, and they were putting them into these different groups and spirited them as bringing them into the country, covertly, using our airline. And the explanation that I was given was satisfactory for me to just say, well, you know, it must not be too serious and it hasn't been going on very long. And see, I hope nobody finds out about it. Well, the whole issue was dropped. But nevertheless, that recollection stayed with me. And it wasn't until many years later, after I left Capitol, when I met Kathy O'Brien, that I was reminded that some of the things that she was talking about are consistent with some of the rumors that I was hearing back in my days with Capitol. My actual experiences included a number of areas that Kathy O'Brien was included in. But since she was the lab rat, from her perspective, I couldn't imagine, because I had never heard of anyone using children or using persons that were not either in a mental institution beyond all hope with no living relatives, or perhaps a monkey or some ape. I watched an ape get trained on a computer, and I watched an ape develop a very large vocabulary, not articulating through voice, but according to the computer. And I was amazed that animals could even think, much less construct sentences and have a memory. There was some dolphin research that I was exposed to on a little obscure place called Dinner Key down in Florida. This also involved mind control and behavioral modification. But all of these things put together never gave me the full picture of Kathy O'Brien's victimization, or would have even allowed me to understand it. I know, in retrospect, had I known what was going on back in those days, I would have blown the whistle and I wouldn't be standing here before you tonight. I'm not a bleeding heart, as they say, and I'm not a goody good two-shoes, and I'm certainly not someone that is going to lay myself wide open to get hurt, because I don't believe in being dead right. But I tell you one thing. When I ran across this in China, and the Chinese are telling me that I've got a sleazy partner who is running slaves in and out of the White House, and then proves it to me, it was just like my whole world stopped and flew up my face. When I came back, I rescued Kathy and her daughter, believing that my contacts from the intelligence community and from the scientific community would rescue me. A little did I know that there was nothing in the private sector as far as research goes that would allow for this woman and her daughter to receive any help. I had two routes I could go. One, I could have stayed in my business. I had a lucrative contract. I was president of a company. and I could have afforded to give them the best of the best. Or I could just walk away from everything and attempt to convince the powers at hand that I lost my mind and I wasn't a threat, and put this woman back together myself and find out exactly what's going on inside my country. Well, the latter, of course, is what I chose to do. And I'm very grateful for doing it, because Kathy has helped me become who I am today, and I like who I am today a whole lot better than I was 2 years ago. I've never been a bad guy, but I've never been a real person. I think each and every one of us in this room has had an opportunity in these days to actually become who we ought to be. There's not one person in this room that doesn't have something else to do besides being here listening to some man from the South, by the way, hearing someone with a Southern accent is enough to scare the bejeebus out of anybody with all these Southern presidents we've had. But I was born there, and I know a lot of nice Southerners, and I know some real turkeys. And the presidents that have come out of the South, I hope you all don't really think are representative of the population there. And that begins with Andrew Jackson. This man was not only a slave owner, he was responsible for killing the people that actually owned this country, the Native Indians. He was one of the most horrible people that I could imagine being at the helm of leadership in this country, one of the founders. Nevertheless, he was president. And there are a number of Tennesseans, and I'm a Tennessean, they're very proud of this man. I do believe that if he had known about mind control, he would have used it. These people that Kathy O'Brien points her finger at, some of them are going to be your favorite politicians if you ever had one. Some of them are going to be your favorite entertainer, especially if you like country music. I've seen people sit and listen to Kathy talk, and we lay out medical proofs, all the documentation, everything you need to support it, enough to get any civil court in the land to award her damages. That enough validation. And I've seen them go, oh, that's my favorite. And then literally dispute everything that she just said because she's named one of their favorite entertainers. Folks, these people that are entertainers are just that. They're up there entertaining you. What you're seeing is not what they are. I've known some real nice people in the entertainment business. I've known some really fine artists. Well, my sponsor tonight is an artist. Just wonderful people. But they're just people. That's all they are. They're just people. And whether they're a politician or whether they're a musician or an entertainment figure, they're still people. And given absolute control over another person, they become corrupted absolutely. The corruption in this country is not attributable necessarily to mind control. I think you folks have a better handle on it than most. I think most of you all understand that there is a reason for a lot of this breakdown of our justice system. Certainly the police officers in this country, thank God, are beginning to wake up and listen to people like Jack McLamb when he says there is a reason for this breakdown. It's called New World Order, One World Government, Martial Law, National Police Force, NJPF, whatever you want to label it. But the bottom line is, it's what it takes to get the people whipped into submission. A doctor handed me a file tape not too long ago of a dog. I'm an animal lover. I have a big problem with people don't love animals. People that mistreat them, they don't have to love them, just don't mistreat them. But I got a big problem with people mistreating animals. And in several states are now passing laws that if you mistreat an animal and you got children, kids have got to go in and be evaluated. Well, in some regards, I don't like this. It's an intrusion into your privacy. In others, the abusers that I've seen, the abusers Kathy's seen, they all abuse animals. So maybe that is a good barometer for judging whether or not the children are being abused like the animals are. But the animals that we've seen abused in these file things, particularly this dog, went into a submissive state and would no longer exhibit any of its innate ability to fight back. It just curled up in a corner and would do absolutely nothing, not cry, nothing, in spite of the fact that it was getting bursts of between 17,500 and 85,000 volts through its brain in 1/8 of a second intervals. Kathy O'Brien also has the same condition. She's got thousands and thousands of scars on her body where the voltage penetrated her skin. She had a needle pushed through her eye by a U.S. senator who is sitting and judging and on the judicial panel for a man in Idaho whose family was destroyed because of the same criminal mindset within the Justice Department. I'll let Kathy get into all the names. But this fellow is a master of torture. And he's an alleged pedophile. A pedophile is someone who prefers sex with a child that has not developed any form. There's no shape to them. They like them when they haven't developed any shape. There's several different types of sexual pedophiles. And these people actually know who they are amongst them in Washington. There are, you recall a few years ago, when they busted up a sex ring of children, prostitutes, in Washington. There was an intelligence officer that's a friend of mine, and another fellow that I've known for a long time with Secret Service, he's retired now, who investigated part of this in conjunction with Park Service, since it happened right there. And they found there was not just one of these houses where they were taking these children to these politicians to service them. There was five of them, and they were all bigger than that one. That's just the one that they couldn't get the guy to cooperate, so they ain't popped. But the other five are still operating, and I was reminded of the Jonestown operation. That one fell apart, but the other two are still going. I don't purport to have a solution to all of this other than one that Kathy and I talk about. That solution involves the abolition of the 1947 National Securities Act and the War Powers Act. There are a number of congressmen right now, and we do pass this information out, the original bill that was drawn up by some very powerful members of both the House and Senate to abolish the War Powers Act, which will help eliminate our president's free reign of terror on us and our allies. They can no longer write executive orders. They can no longer operate outside the Constitution. It would appear to me that this is the first step. The second step is I'd like to have these perpetrators identified. Now, I don't want them crucified. I don't want to traumatize a whole nation by taking these people out and tying them to anthills and torture them. To say that I fantasize about these things. But I don't want it to happen because it'll traumatize everybody that sees it, and everybody gets suggestible again. There's a number of doctors around the world that agree that the reason that the average American saw John F. Kennedy's head blown off 347 times or something like that, that's not exactly right now, some hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, was because the CIA wanted you to see it. There's very few people in this room that can't tell you exactly what they were doing and exactly where they were at the time John F. Kennedy was shot, if they were alive and over the age of, say, 7. I think most people in this room know exactly where they were and what they were doing. Well, gee, I wonder why that is. I bet you can't, tell me that about your Uncle Harry or your Aunt Dottie or somebody that you really love, what you were doing when they died. There's a reason for that. If the reason is because you were being traumatized. Oliver Stone produced a movie about it. And Oliver Stone and Creative Artist Guild, we've done some interaction with on advisory. Retired spooks and retired people from the scientific community sometimes make a little extra money on the side by advising movie folks of how to make movies. Book folks on that, particularly if it deals in an area that is outside the normal realm of knowledge. Well, that pretty well determined that not only was our president assassinated, but they were going to use the assassination itself to literally whip a nation into submission. Suggestibility. One of the things about survivors of mind control, they're very literal. Now, if I stand up here and yawn, and somebody catches it in the room, that doesn't mean that they've been under mind control. It doesn't even mean that they're paying attention to what I'm saying. But when I'm talking to these people, and I give a subliminal command that more or less tells them they can't speak, when spoken to, and I test it, and they can't speak when spoken, I know that they've been subjected to some sort of conditioning. They think in a literal sense. When Kathy would come to the back of the White House, our Secret Service escort would say, look at the sign, what does that tell you?